When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sees to Cummins, he goes back and works it through the offside for four. Pat Cummins has won the test for Australia along with Alex Carey.
Wow, Adam Collins there with his call. Pull him back from jumping through the window, actually. He was that excited about the whole thing. But another part of our commentary team throughout the summer has been John Bracewell, very popular part of it as well. And whilst he wasn't on deck during the Australian series as such, he was for the white ball cricket up there in Auckland. He was missed, and his analysis was missed, of course, during the latter part of the test series, because a lot of it was on the focus of spin, and he's been one of our very best and one of our best analysts of it, actually. So, Braces, welcome in this morning. Got to have you on for a bit of a report card yourself.
Yes, I'm good, thanks, Smitty. I only caught the last half. I assume you were talking about Matt Henry with the hamstring in IPL?
Yeah, I was, actually. I can tell you that I drove down the hill with a certain IPL head coach who said, well, I really want this bloke, and that was on the day that he broke down, so there you go. Unfortunately for Matt, didn't transfer into the pocket, but it could have. Yeah. However, hey, look, Braces, just looking back at what happened, in, particularly in the Australian series, and the development of a couple of players in particular who I think are important to our future. Glenn Phillips, how good could he be in your trade as an off-spinner?
Yeah, well, I think he's a one-line spinner. My worry about Glenn is that the amount of white ball cricket that he actually plays, and that forces him slightly over the vertical, because you're bowling such a defensive line in white ball cricket, in particular 2020, and we know that he's been pretty successful and is touted on that, and that next tier down, you know, the Caribbean leagues and that level where he plays a lot of his winter cricket, and therefore those habits, technical habits that fall into your game, playing all that white ball cricket, is going to make it really difficult to transfer quite quickly when you're only playing two test match series with no lead-ins into them. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah, yes I do.
Yeah, so, you know, we have no preparation now. Just have a look at our first-class season. We play four games of first-class cricket at the beginning, and we play four games of first-class cricket at the end. We were touted, it was mentioned that Scott Tugeloin, for example, was seen as our most successful first-class cricketer, front-line bowler, but he hadn't played any red ball cricket for actually over 2 to 3 months. And he, in fact, he had just got off the same plane as Trent Bolt, having played in a final in Dubai of 20 over cricket. So it kind of didn't make sense. But it also shows the difficulty that Gary Stead has in terms of finding form players when we have injuries because of the way our domestic season is set up.
Interesting. Okay. I hadn't given it that much thought in terms of that. Actually, where do you see then, okay, after a season where spin was a factor, you know, and it often hasn't been for us, but it was, on two pitches in particular, where we seem to misread the conditions, Hamilton and Basin Reserve?
Yeah, well, the first thing I said when I left at Hamilton, I said to Daniel McCarty, I said, the first thing you need to do is you need to go and see the groundsman, and water restrictions have been imposed on the preparation of the Basin Reserve, because we know that Wellington had their water problems and they were also having an extremely dry summer. So that in itself would have had an effect. And we also saw at Hamilton, where we had nice thick grass that was dry, but underneath was actually extremely dry dry soil. And so therefore the water effects of season to season also have an effect on how you prepare your wickets as well. I mean, the thing I liked about the basin was the ball that bounced with the spin. You know, it was pretty impressive as well. But Nathan Lyon, it just fed into his hands, didn't it? Tactically, he couldn't have got better bowling conditions.
Why is he so good, John? Why is Lyon so good? What is it about him? I mean, he doesn't seem to possess doosras or knuckleballs or any of that flowery stuff. Why is he so good?
Because he bowls one form of the game and he concentrates on that. So he's not trying to invent anything that is new. I mean, Ashwin and guys like that are freakishly good as well. But he bowls off spin and he changes subtly, very, very subtly, the angle of his seam. That gives him that variation. But you're right. I've never seen him. I've never seen him actually bowl an arm ball. He bowls off spin, and he changes that off spin, the line of his off spin from the stumps to outside off stump as the game progresses and the turn comes into it. But in particular, his strength is bounce, and bounce is very hard to sweep. And so, if he can eliminate the sweep in the modern day shot. You know, we saw New Zealanders trying to reverse sweep, and Daryl Mitchell in particular, they really, really struggled to sweep him. No one can sweep this guy consistently well. And therefore, it allows him to bring players in closer and be more offensive than defensive. As soon as you've got somebody you can sweep, you've actually got to put people in defensive positions. And so you're hoping to get them out rather than getting them out.
If you look at our fast bowling development and our situation we're in at the moment, nice to see O'Rourke, but gets injured. Sears comes in, takes an opportunity. You saw him in white ball cricket. He made it fly a wee bit. How are we looking in terms of that, and where do you see Southee at now, in all honesty?
I think it's a progression of... I think that Tim is required in that team in order to nurture those guys through. You can't take Wagner, Bolt, Southee out of your intellectual property that has been built up over a 12-year period. It takes time to transition those new guys in. And I really like the language that they talked around protecting Southee. And to a certain extent, you know, it's part of that team. They are very loyal to each other, and I think that's why... Under Brendan McCullum in particular, they're very protective of each other, and they're very supportive of each other, and that's been reflected in the language that these new guys have actually talked around about Tim in particular. But I think that there needs to be some passing over of that intellectual property. Now, whether that means that Tim Southee has to drop down to the third seamer and has that role of mentor until these guys get at least 20 tests under their belt. Smithy, you're still searching unless you have got that, and then you're regrouping another force. But if you just take all those, if you take those four guys out that I talked about, and then you replace them with another four guys, then you're starting at the very beginning of inexperience but high expectation. And you need to nurture that through.
Did they miss Wagner against Australia?
Yes. I think tactically, the way they bowled Kugeloin, they definitely missed Wagner. Just for that experience of being able to clean up a tail in particular. Now, that's the hardest thing for young guys to learn, is to that ability to be able to clean up a tail is not as easy as you think. You start to chase wickets. I mean, we've seen it ourselves in our own playing days, where all of a sudden somebody starts spraying the ball over fine leg or over top of gully and things like that, and guys go chasing a wicket, and they keep varying their lengths, looking for a result because they haven't got that experience or the courage. The courage to call on resources of memory to be able to execute. And I think that you know, Neil Wagner has been one of the best tail moppers in the history of the game. His ability to be able to do that, and we kept having to go to the having to go to the Henry well time and time again. But you can't go as an individual. You've got to go as collective, because they can just see Henry off. And in the end, they wore Henry down, and he lost his steam going into that match. And we all know that he'd never played four test matches in a row before, which was extraordinary, really, when you think how good a bowler he is.
Mm. John, in terms of just getting back towards the spin bowling side of it, right throughout the summer, Gary Stead says that he believed Mitchell Santt was the best spin bowler in the country. I'm not sure about that myself. And your nephew, Michael, where do you see his development in terms of the test team?
Yeah, well, I think that their desperation to have a guy who can nail down that seven position on a regular basis, you know, they've shown no faith in Santner, and I think Santner is where he is because of the fact that they've showed no faith in him. So he's never been able to string more than two games together at a time in order to connect experiences to make it experience. You know, you can't just have broken experiences and be able to connect that and have it broken up by going away and playing in an IPL and then broken up and by going and playing somewhere else and never playing any first-class cricket in between to actually practice the skill and the art. So while he says that he's the best spin bowler in the country, and he may very well be right, they're never, ever giving him the opportunity to prove it on a regular basis. So therefore, it'll always remain a contentious issue. In regards to Michael, I think that him and Glenn Phillips are going to fight that position out. Both of them are outstanding fielders. Both of them are very, very committed team guys. And both of them have the same skill set in terms of off-spin bowling. I think probably Michael holds a slight edge in terms of that because he attacks both edges of the bat. But to be fair, Glenn Phillips has taken every opportunity with the ball since his belated second innings effort against South Africa, where we almost wrote him off before that, came on and blitzed a few wickets, blitzed a couple of catches, and turned the game on its head.
You've talked quite a lot about focusing. If we want our guys to be good at one discipline, they've got to focus on that discipline or that form of the game. Is it time now, and you've been a coach across all forms of the game, is it time now for specialists in that area, the coaching side of things?
Well, I think it's the time's now to reassess what they're doing with our A program. I mean, if we're going to invest and we're getting to the end of a golden generation, our A team needs to be constantly playing. And if that means taking them out of first-class cricket and moving them up, that means taking them out of a belief that our T20 competition is important financially. Unfortunately, we don't operate as a nation unless our international side is successful. We don't generate that income. These guys have done a tremendous job in putting us on the world map and putting themselves on the world map financially as well with their IPL contracts, et cetera, et cetera. But we need to regenerate, and the only way we can regenerate is to make sure we've got the right amount of cricket at the right time. So Gary Stead is getting a constant supply of experience coming into his side, not trying to guess who the next best player is based on history of 3 months ago when the last bowled.
Mm. Okay, so you think there's still scope for one coach to do all three, providing he has that backup system in place?
I think that we need to change to almost the franchise system. I mean, you know, the most successful coach in the world at the moment is Stephen Fleming, in my mind. And the reason I say that is because he has mastered the art of management at franchise level. The management of egos and the management of transitioning people in and out and the continuation of a legacy of a successful franchise. And that is the modern day coach is now the Alex Ferguson of the coaching world. That ability to be able to manage your coaches so they manage your players.
Wow. That's interesting. I never really thought of cricket coaching to that extent, or that deeply. That's interesting. John, a lot of people saying we need to have the likes of Fleming. We need to have the likes of Vittori. Even Baz, Brennan McCullum, when he's finished with England. Do you see that as a possibility, or are we just never going to be able to afford those guys?
If we want to be world's best, we're going to have to. Now, at some stage, somebody's going to have to say, if we want to be the best in the world, we're going to have to get the best in the world to actually manage those guys. And those people have got to be the people who understand that modern world and how to be able to operate in that modern world of players coming and going, coming in with egos, coming in with different techniques. You know, we've seen it often with Trent Bolt coming back from white ball cricket. And just to be able to get that arm, the ball under the bat, he tended to throw away his front shoulder and drop his arm a little bit, which was counterproductive to his red ball bowling of getting the ball to swing late. He had to get his arm higher. So all those things need to be managed almost from afar as well. You know, you need to be able to make sure that he's got somebody in whatever his franchise is working with him with a red ball every so often at practice. I always used to say to guys when white ball cricket first T20 first came in, and I remember Dan Christensen coming over to Gloucester for a time, and he'd just come out of white ball cricket, and he was just slogging across the line. And I said, mate, you should always take a bag of red balls with you, because in the end, as soon as you see a red ball, funnily enough, your elbow starts pointing. You start hitting through the line of it again. So you need to remind yourself that your basic technique and your memory is actually based on the foundations of setting yourself up properly. And then you can hit from there. So, you know, when I'm talking about the Stephen Flemings and the Brennan McCullums and the Daniel Vittoris and the Shane Bonds as well, those guys who are out there in that circuit managing egos and managing different techniques coming in and personalities, they are the way of the future. And if we want to take it seriously, we've got to actually start investing in those guys and pay them a competitive market rate.
Wow. John Bracewell with us this morning, folks. Bracewell, thank you so much for your in-depth look at it. It went a lot deeper and has given me plenty to think about as well. So I appreciate your time, mate, and we'll catch up again very shortly and enjoy a bit of a breather and get those lawns under control, my friend.
Yeah, we're just down another growth spurt.
Okay, oh, cheers, man. Thank you.